For God so loved the world that he gave everything he had when he gave his only son. This hour, Lord, we take time to say thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Certainly, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Now, Lord, we crucify flesh and walk in the spirit, because there is no good thing in the flesh. Help us this hour. Steady us, O God. It's not what we see, but it's what we hear. You said what the church hears. And help us as men hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. We pray this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say it.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. Guys, I'm really torn. I have a teaching here that's all written out on paper. But I also have one here. So if I get a little emotional sometime, you know it's from my heart. So, Will, brother, Will and I had the great pleasure of meeting 3 years ago on a great banquet experience. And we just finished another great banquet experience where we got to share ministry together and be blessed by the men that were going through the banquet. And I guess what I'd ask you, does anybody in this room not know what a great banquet is? If you would, raise your hand. So you all pretty much know what I'm talking about. 72 hours of being covered in prayer by the community of people that have shared their walks together and shared Christ's work together. My talk today is on prayer, individual prayer, several types of prayer. There's corporate prayer, there's prayer in prayer like a prayer group, there's worshipful prayer that you go through in your worship service. But today, what I'm going to do is talk about individual prayer. This is your one-on-one time with God. And hopefully some of the things that I'm going to talk to you about today will challenge you, will stretch you, will assist you in your individual prayer life. What does your prayer life look like? Does it look good? Is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Would you call it a 10? God wants it to be a 10. We were created to have fellowship and relationship with the Creator. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to give Him glory. He wants to help you in situations. Well, last weekend, I got to be blessed by being a table leader in the Great Banquet number 79. And God showed up in a very mighty way. And I saw lives changed, relationships healed. Kokomo is one less drug agent or one less drug dealer in today. There are two numerous account men that rededicated their lives or dedicated their lives to Christ. And then there were three men specifically that broke my heart in that in their early lives, They were involved in a decision to have an abortion. We often hear about how rough it is on the women. And we very seldom hear how rough it is on the men. And these men carried this baggage for up to 35 years. And that's the power of prayer. So I kind of got to see God's hand all over men this weekend. Our focus verse from our study from Kent Hughes' book is in Ephesians, in this Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, I find it very interesting that prior to this, and if you look at the title in your Bible in this whole section, it's called The Armor of God. Ephesians 6:10 through 18. And the thing that I find so interesting about this is how many of you think of your prayer life as your weapon? Raise your hand. Have you ever thought of it that way? How many of you, when you start your day, talk to God and have your one-on-one time? It's like you're meeting with the general, preparing yourself for the battle of the world. Because I'll tell you, Satan doesn't want you to win, period. We are at war. I think Ephesians 6:10 through 18 makes that very clear that we are at war. It reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. How do you get His mighty power? You communicate with Him. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your hand, stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, if that's not war, I don't know what is. And if you don't have a prayer life, you don't stand a chance. And hopefully, one of the things that I will share with you today and challenge you with today, if you don't have a prayer life, get one. That's not to talk on my paper. Sorry, guys. I just want to tell you, you need to get comfortable, and I love catchphrases. It's how I've kind of managed my life and my business. And as I was putting this talk on paper, God gave me a new catchphrase. And I'll share it with you. Men, we need to pray. You need to get comfortable with your spiritual weapon. It needs to become so comfortable that you are uncomfortable without it. You have to remember that you are a soldier for Christ the King. Well, Mr. Hughes has a way of approaching this Ephesians 6:18 verse, and he broke it down into five elements. And I have some engineering friends that probably understand this statement better than I do. In other words, I think we're going to reverse engineer it. And as we look at Ephesians 6:18, he broke it down into five parts. And the first part is, and pray in the Spirit. Inspirited prayer. What in the world does that look like? What does inspirited prayer look like? Where's your heart? Do you acknowledge and are you humble before Him when you go to prayer? When you approach God, do you only approach God when you're under stress or trouble? Are you looking for, I'm going to steal a line from my senior pastor, are you looking for a God to be your magician? Are you looking for a God to be ruler and authority over your life? So this key question is, what does inspirited prayer look like? I think the one thing that you need to do is understand, and this is an exercise that I try a lot, is I imagine myself bare naked, kneeling at the feet of our Creator, because I can't bring anything other than my prayers. To me, that is getting your heart right. Closing your eyes and understanding where you are and who you are. You see, I think our big problem, at least the big problem that I have, is I think I'm in control. And I think unless you humbly go before the throne of grace, you always think you're in control. And how I look at that, and I have days that I'm really good at it, and there's days that I'm really bad at it. And I've got prayer warriors that recognize that for me and lift me up when they recognize that I'm having a bad day, and I appreciate them so much. And a lot of them are in this room today. I think you have to understand that you're not in control. When you get up and you hit the floor, you have responsibilities. You're not in control. You have responsibilities. There are blessings that He's shared on you that you are responsible for. There are relationships that He has blessed you with that you are responsible to. But He is in control. And I think until you get that proper perspective, I don't think you'll have your heart right. And when you have your heart right, and this, as I was shaving this morning, there was something that came out to me, and I said something to my wife. I said, "You're not going to believe this, but I think I've had an epiphany this morning shaving." I said, and I didn't cut myself. And I said, you know, the Scripture says where two or more are gathered, He hears our prayers. And I thought about this, and I thought, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. And if I got the right mindset, aren't I two or more? So if I get my heart right and I get in spirited prayer, He'll hear my prayers. I don't have to go to prayer group. I can pray right here at the sink while I'm washing out my razor if I get in spirit. And you know what? The nice thing about that is if you're in spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to pray for you what you don't know what you want to pray for. Scripture tells us so. So bring all your petitions and all your prayers in spirit. That's what inspirited prayer looks like. Acknowledging who's in control and turning your heart over to Him. You got the best assistant in the world right inside of you. Right inside of you. The second element, it says, on all occasions. And I think 1 Thessalonians says it pretty clear. It's a very, very short verse in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very powerful verse. Pray continually. Doesn't get any simpler than that. Oh. Yeah. I will tell you, I told you earlier that I have catchphrases. And I will share with you my prayer before my feet ever hit the floor of a morning. And for my engineering friends, you're free to use this if you wish. It was given to me by a very, very dear friend of mine. And I don't have a patent on it, and he doesn't either. And my prayer of a morning before my feet hit the floor is, Lord, reveal to me today that I might reveal You. Now, my catchword for my day is reveal. And it covers all situations. I've tried to make my life a prayer. That's what the word reveal does. And if you make your life a prayer in revealing the glory of your Savior, your life will be a prayer. And you will change people around you. And you will affect people around you. And God will hear your prayers and He will answer your prayers. The third element of this verse is, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And I'd like to read 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Varied prayer. And guess what, guys? If you live a life in reveal, you'll have varied prayer. Because you'll be able to react to all the situations that you come across through the course of the day. If you try to mentally put yourself in the framework of revealing Him through you, the varied prayer happens just automatically. It's just there. And you'll be showered with many blessings through the course of the day because you'll see your King working through the day. The fourth element of this is, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Persistence. Two key words in this part of this verse is alert and always. Alert indicates that you probably will have some sneak attacks from Satan. And always implies to me that it's not one battle. This is a war. Why do you think the church and people, to me, the catchphrase for a lot of people, why do you think people that are known for their prayer are called prayer warriors? This is a war. So we need to be alert to the devil's schemes. And we need to be always. Always implies we need to always be alert so we can stand the test. Persistence. Don't give up. I will repeat a phrase that I shared with you earlier. You need to get so comfortable with your weapon, prayer, that you're uncomfortable without it. Why do you think in the military they have so much practice at the rifle range, on the tank fields? They're getting comfortable with their weapons. For all the saints is the last element of this verse, implying intercessory prayer. For all the saints. Some of you say, well, what's a saint? By definition, the saint is those who are declared righteous by God. Well, how in the world do you get declared righteous by God? And I think Romans 3, 21 through 23 tells us pretty clear. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. I heard a nice term, and I'm going to steal it from somebody. I hope you don't mind. I hate to use that terminology, stealing, when I'm talking about prayer. Sorry, I'm going to borrow your phrase, Brent. Man, you have to come to an understanding that you are a saint. If you believe in Christ, you are a saint. Sometime go in the back of your Bible and look up the word saint. And do a word study on the word saint. And do some research on what all your future responsibilities are going to be as a saint of Jesus Christ. You're a saint, but you sin. Let me make that clear. But, there's a big but there. In your faith in Jesus Christ, declared righteous before God. That is the only reason God will even listen to you, is because the blood shed by Jesus Christ and His power and victory over death. That is the only reason. So we need to pray. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray in spirited prayer, spiritually, continually, varied, persistently, for all the saints. I need to be held up by my brothers. Because there's days I get it wrong. I get it terribly wrong. Now, I need to get going, don't I? We need to get the rubber on the road, don't we? How does this all look like? This verse is all nice to sit there and say this, that, and the other, and it's just great. How do you get it to work? I've got some suggestions that I'm going to go through them quickly. Christ came to be an example for us. And I can't say it any more eloquently than the Scripture says it in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place, and did what? Prayed. Now, how many use the excuse, I don't have time to pray? My life's just too busy. Set your alarm clock 15 minutes earlier. You'll have time. Well, my busy life. Well, you know what? I think if you go back and look at Scripture, there were a lot of days when Christ got up very early in the morning after He had had a really big day the day before. He made the effort to be with His Father. He couldn't be without His Father. So find a quiet place. Get up early if you have to. Two, and this is the most important part of this, when you get in that place, get your heart right. Acknowledge the fact that you aren't in control, that He is, that you just have responsibilities. And those are many, many blessings. And I think we covered the third element, which is make time. When you go to prayer, set a time. Set a time limit on yourself so that you can honor that time. Get comfortable. If you need to sit, sit. If you need to bow, bow. If you need to lay down, prostrate on the floor, lay down, prostrate on the floor. But get comfortable. You got to remember where you are, what your intention is, and you don't want any distractions. And make a list. Write it down. It keeps you focused. Look at it as your battle plan. Remember, you're at war. God wants to hear from you. We were created to be in relationship with Him. He did not create puppets. You are not a puppet. You are a participant. And prayer is how you participate. And I can't stress this one even more than enough. Confidentiality. If someone asks you to pray for them, unless they release you from that confidentiality, you keep your mouth shut. We are not in this world to build gossip columns. Keep honor their confidence. I cannot stress that enough. You will destroy a lot of things that God meant for good if you gossip. Man, that's my understanding of Kent Hughes's examination of Ephesians 6:18. And it's how I try to live my individual prayer life. I don't think you can help many prayer groups unless you have a strong individual prayer life. Because all these elements that we talked about today, you will be able to bring to prayer groups. You will be able to bring to church. Remember, when you go to church, it's what you bring, not what you receive. And I guess I'll leave you with this parting comment. Remember, God doesn't want puppets. He wants participants. And He wants you to share your journey that we call life. Amen. Father, I just pray that the words that you've somewhat forced through me, but blessed me with, fall on fertile soil today. In Jesus' name. Amen.